And it's part of what I believe God has spoken to us this year, and I believe is going to continue into next year, that spiritual warfare is absolutely critical to the advancing of the kingdom of God in our community. And if we are engaging with people, and I know that we are, because when we get into our faith communities and our discipleship groups, every time I ask the guys that I'm with and say, who are you praying for, what's happening in their lives and stuff, we get story after story all the time of people who are just reaching out, loving people, praying for somebody. We are totally, as a group, we are absolutely engaged in what God wants us to do in the people in our world. And what we all know, those of us who are doing that, what we all know is you get to a point where that person gets stuck. That person is stuck. And we know the only thing that really, we know we've got to love them and care for them and reach out and meet whatever needs we can and all of that, live an open life of loving God, let them know who we are, where we're from, any testimonies and so on. Do all of that, but we know, I'm sure you know, I certainly know, that the people we relate to and are reaching out to, they very often they'll get stuck in their progress towards Jesus. And what we need to shift them is the work of the Holy Spirit. And for whatever reason that God set it up this way, he wants us to pray so that the Holy Spirit's released to do the work that he wants to do anyway. Nobody knows why God set it up that way. If you're a sovereignist, it'll be about obedience. If you're an Armenian, it'll be about the power and effectiveness of man's prayer. So I don't care which end of the theological spectrum you're on, there's going to be this desire for prayer and there's going to be a need for prayer to release the work of the Spirit. And that's what we want to talk about. During the week, I did way too much research around one issue that was on my heart. And so today's message is actually called Air Supremacy. Air Supremacy. And the reason I called it that is because throughout the history of warfare, air supremacy has become the main issue of modern warfare. In the old days, air supremacy was represented by a bow and arrow. Ba-ching! You get a whole bunch of archers, and there was two things that an army had to have in the old days. They had archers and heavy cavalry. And if you looked up those, if you look at that, anybody who's seen Braveheart or any of those movies knows those are important things. That was really about ground warfare, and you'd have catapults and those trebuchet things that I still can't work out how they work. You know the trebuchet thing that I'm talking? It does, doesn't it? There it is. And that was all about air supremacy, just bombarding. And then it became naval ships, so you'd have artillery, and whoever had artillery supremacy, it was air supremacy. It was coming from the air. And they'd have that on a ship, and you could take the ship, and the British were the best at it, and they'd bring their gunship diplomacy, it was called, and it was all about controlling what was happening in the air. But then in the First and Second World War, it literally became, with the invention of airplanes and stuff, air supremacy. And it started in the First World War, and there was a bit of that, but it really happened in the Second World War. And the first great battle determined in the air, does anybody know, in the Second World War, was the Battle of Britain, which Winston Churchill predicted when he took over control. Up to that point, the British government had pretty well said Nazi Germany can have Europe. They can have the rest of Europe as long as they don't attack us. And that was why Chamberlain got the boot and Churchill got in. And that was his famous speech, you know, we'll fight them on the beaches, we'll fight them on the landing grounds. He's basically setting the nation up and saying, we will not give an inch. But that battle wasn't fought on the landing grounds and the beaches of Britain. It was fought in the air over Britain. And it was the first decisive battle that was determined by air supremacy. You're interested in this, aren't you? I can tell. Go on! The second one, which I found more interesting, the second one was in end of 1943, 1944, when the Allies were setting up for the invasion of Europe, the retaking of Europe. There was a fellow by the name of James Doolittle, who was a major general, was actually one of the first guys to learn how to fly by instruments in planes, and he led an attack on Japan after Pearl Harbor, where they actually flew out from... You can see I've read too much on this. They flew out from the west coast of America. They went over, they bombed Japan to make Japan realize that they could strike them. And then they didn't have enough fuel to do anything, so most of them crash landed in China. So they flew back into China, which wasn't at that point occupied. Some of them were killed, some of them were taken hostage, and this guy, Mr. Doolittle, he survived, and he thought he was going to get the sack, but he actually was given all sorts of medals and stuff and promoted. And in the attack of Europe, the retaking of Europe, he was a major general in charge of the US 8th Air Force. I know you needed all of that background. And what they did, because you remember all the bombers used to go and they'd get shot down. There was, you know, there's lots of movies and stories about that. But what he did was this. He said, when we're going to go and bomb now, what we're going to do is we're going to release our fighters for aggressive air supremacy. And those words just resonated in my head. And what he meant was they weren't going to stay with the bomber group and let people come and attack them. They were going to go and find them. And they were actually going to take the ground ahead of the bombers. And the losses in their bombers went from something like 30, 40, 50% down to about 5%. Because the fighters aggressively enforced air supremacy. And I thought about that in relation to what we do, because the Bible tells us that we are in spiritual warfare. And let me have, come with me to the Bible. You didn't think it was going to get to the Bible, did you? But let's have a look at the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2, have you finished eating up the back so you can speak now? Ephesians 2 verses 1 and 2, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, what? Following the prince of the power of the what? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And in chapter 6, just before the putting on the full armor of God, what does he say? Chapter 6, verse 10 and 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We'd better understand that our true battle is in the air. And what we need is air supremacy. We need air supremacy. And what that means is that all the fighters have got to be sent out ahead of the big bombers, and they've got to take the ground. They've got to wipe out the enemy over top of the ground. And I totally believe that what God wants us to do is to go into the areas that he's called us to, and he wants us to take the ground. He wants us to establish the supremacy of the king over the ground that he's given us and not let the enemy have a free hand in the lives of men and women. At the moment in our country, the enemy is having a free hand in the lives of men and women. There's a young guy that I've been doing some stuff with, and the enemy is messing him up big time right now. And I'm absolutely aware, and every week we meet together with the guys and we pray. I say to, like I did this week, I say to the guys, can you pray for this guy? Because right now the enemy's messing him up. The enemy's got a hold of him and trying to get him away from the kingdom of God. God has stirred his heart to draw close, and the enemy is now trying to cut him off. And I know that it's a spiritual battle. And I know that the fighters have got to go out there and they've got to clear the air so that we can move forward in the kingdom of God. Amen? We've got to do it. There's a sphere of influence that has been given to every one of us. Paul speaks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And I won't read, it'll come up on the screen, I'm guessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And he talks about not boasting beyond measure. But he says, I'll boast only in regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to reach even to you. Paul knew that he was given an assignment. He was given a people. Sometimes he was led directly by the Spirit, like the Macedonian call. And he was led directly to some people and some cities and told, that's an area for you to take. I believe that God gives us each assignments. He gives us each areas. You might think that you're in your workplace by accident. Well, you might have accidentally got there, but I don't believe you're there by accident. I believe that whether you sought God or not for the work that you're doing, I believe God has planted you there because you're a son and a daughter of the King, and nothing is by accident. And he's planted you there to have an effect and to bring the kingdom of God. Jesus said to the 70 when he sent them out, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, and let them know that the kingdom of God has what? come near. When you go to those places, when I go to those places that God has shown me to go to, then I bring the kingdom of God. This is why I love going into Buddhist temples and Muslim mosques and stuff, because I know I'm not going to go in there and do stupid things and, you know, sign. I'm not going to do any of that nonsense. But what I know is that every time I go into one of those places, I bring the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom of the world is not influencing me. I'm bringing the kingdom of God. Woo! I've wanted to get to this series for a while. This is so important to us. So important to us. We talk about evangelism training and testimonies and stories, and all that's really important. We'll do more of that so that we're really confident to take the opportunities as they come. But I tell you, I totally believe that we must win this battle in prayer. We have to win this battle in prayer. And it's not going to be, you know, a couple of stodgy people in a back room somewhere. It's going to be a whole bunch of fighter pilots out there in their powerful Messerschmitts, that's German, in their powerful whatever they were. The first one was a Fokker. I can't say that too often in church. But they were the first to have air supremacy, just by the way. That's what it is. People who are in their fighter plane out there taking on the enemy. That's what we need. You can see why I was taken with that imagery. I hope you can. It's so powerful that God would send us out to take the power of the air. I love it. Absolutely love it. Ezekiel chapter 22. Come there with me. It's good to get a bit of Old Testament prophet. Ezekiel 22 verse 29, I hope you're motivated by the possibility of what God can do, but if you want to be motivated by a bit of guilt, then let's go to Ezekiel 22 verse 29. It says, the people of the land have practiced extortion and committed robbery. They've oppressed the poor and needy, have extorted from the sojourner without justice. That's the people of God doing that, by the way, the people of Israel. And this is God speaking. He says, I sought a man from among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, I have returned their ways upon their heads, declares the Lord. I was looking for a man to stand in the breach for the people, and I couldn't find anybody. Moses was such a man, Hezekiah was such a man. Nehemiah was such a man who heard of the problems in Jerusalem and got on his knees before God and sought God with all his heart and stood in the breach for the people. But Ezekiel understood that at the time of Israel's total captivity into Babylon, God could not find one person to stand in the breach and pray. And so his wrath was poured out. And I think about our community that has rejected God out of hand. And I wonder, where's the man, where's the woman, where's the young person who's going to stand in the breach? Going to stand in the breach and say, I'm standing. I'm going to give up my comforts. I'm going to give up my own interests, my hobbies, whatever it is. You can have your interests and your hobbies. That's good because you connect with people. But I'm not going to fill my life with so much stuff that I can't get out there and pray. That I can't stand for my community. It's so sad when the average pastor, even in the West, is spending 5 minutes in prayer a day. 5 minutes! How do we think? What do we think is going to happen in a community where our Christian leaders are spending 5 minutes in prayer? My goodness me, what a mess. Where's the man to stand in the breach? Where's the woman to stand in the breach for their community? For that place of God's calling. I totally believe in this with all my heart, that we should be the ones who are standing in the breach, seeking God and bringing down the power of heaven. That's why God shifted me from where I was walking from my own exercise. I was having a nice little prayer time with God and in Belmore Basin, and somebody else maybe wants to take Belmore Basin because it needs it. I tell you what, I usually prayer walk there now on a Sunday morning. Did that this morning before I came here. And I'm doing my preparation. I see all these people who are just representing the whole nation and our city on a Sunday morning, just out there enjoying life, doing their rowing, doing... Interesting, there's two kinds of skis. There's the people who paddle skis, and there's the jet skis. And the people who paddle skis are usually lean, and the people who jet ski are usually buffed up. They must spend like 6 hours in the gym and then go on the jet ski. I don't know. But there's all these... That's all going on outside and around. And as I'm getting ready for our gathering here together, I want to make sure that I'm aware that the vast bulk of our community is not gathering in church on a Sunday morning. That the vast bulk of our community are out there riding their jet skis and their push bikes and their things and whatever and having their brunches. And I want to remind myself of that. And on a Sunday morning, often I will walk around that area and say, God, would you reach these people, please? And do something in this area. Anyway, God got me from going in there for my own exercise and got me walking, as you know, around this area here, put on my heart the business district of Fairy Meadow, and now 3 or 4 times a week I'll be prayer walking this area. Sometimes more than that, often 2 or 3 times a day I'll get out and prayer walk this area and say, God, would you do something in this area? This, I believe, has become a sphere of my influence, where he wants me to have influence. And so I'm praying. I got these little ideas about what we could do, but I definitely feel the Holy Spirit saying, how about you take the power of the air before you think about your little ideas of what you want to do? And we often do the opposite. We think about, how am I going to win this person? How am I going to give my test? How am I going to share something with them? And I really believe that the Holy Spirit would say to us, how about we claim the power of the air before we get on with our little ideas on what we might do? He might have a better little idea than us. And so I'm praying, God, show me what else. What's the next step? What to do? But in the meantime, I'm going to claim the power of the air. Ezekiel 22, that really got me stirred up. Anyway, I want us to think about 3 things. If you're going to take the ground, I just want to encourage you on a few things that you can do to take that ground. The first is to be present. Be present. Now you can, the scripture tells us to go into the quiet room. That's great. Go and do that by all means and pray for whatever's going on and whatever God's leading you to. But I tell you what, there's a power in being present in whatever the area is that God has given to you. Whether that's a family thing, be present with the family. Whether it's a community thing, be present with that community. Whatever it is, if it's your workplace, be present. Now, obviously, if it's your workplace, you're supposed to show up. What do I mean by be present? What I mean is that you are bringing the kingdom of God, that you are aware of the fact that you represent Jesus and that you bring Jesus to that situation, and that's the most important thing. So be present. That's why I love the prayer walking, because it allows me to be present in a prayerful way in my community. Some people have said to me, what's this? They think that prayer walking is really difficult, complex. In fact, I've noticed that people like to make prayer very difficult and complex. Books and books and books and articles and this kind of prayer and that kind of prayer and the other kind of prayer. You know, when I understand what Jesus said about prayer, he said, how about you ask for something and your Heavenly Father who's good will give it to you. So my idea on prayer is this. How about we pray? How about we just do it? How about we just get on with it? How about we just... So prayer walking is very complicated. There's books written about prayer walking and you've got to have all the right methods and all the right stuff. Can I tell you what prayer walking is? Is that all right? Can I just illustrate what prayer walking is? You walk and you pray. You walk and you pray. You can pray whatever you like. I don't care. Pray in the Spirit. Think God. For most of my time spent thinking, I say, God, I got this problem, and I'll pray in the Spirit. Say, God, how about you talk to me while I walk? And I walk for an hour or so around here and let God talk to me. And if I got nothing else going on, I'll pray the Lord's Prayer, and I won't go do the vain repetition. I'm amazed by that in churches we use the Lord's Prayer as a vain repetition when Jesus said, don't have a vain repetition. He said, don't just have these phrases you repeat over and over and over. He said, pray like this. Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. How awesome is that? Often I don't get past that point of the Lord's Prayer when I'm prayer walking, because I'm walking. You know what hallowed be your name? It means let your name be held holy above all things. How can you get past that in prayer? hallowed be your name. As I'm walking around offended by all the nonsense that goes on in our world, and go, God, would you glorify your name in this place? And I read out of Joshua chapter 1, and he says, every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given it to you. And as I walk around there, I find this incredible level of spiritual ownership of the community and the place that God has given to me. And I want to take it, I want to claim it, I want to own it. Is it your street? Is it your suburb? Is it your shopping center? I don't care. When it's hot and wet, I'll often go into the mall. I'll do the mall walking. Hallelujah. And get in there because it's air conditioned. It's wonderful. And claim those shopping areas. Claim those streets. Claim whatever. Now, you might not be wanting to walk. Well, get in your car. I did a prayer drive the other day. I'm way off track now, but anyway, I'm sailing out there. I did a prayer. Stop encouraging me. Someone shut that man up. So I did a prayer drive the other day. So what I did, because I had the luxury of being a full-time pastor. So I went down to Dapto and I did a prayer walk around Dapto. I started off with a coffee in one of the I try to find the best coffee shop in each area. Haven't found it in Dapto yet. But anyway, I had a coffee, read the Bible, did my devotional thing. Then I prayer walked around Dapto, claiming all that central. Yes, I went past your office. Help that man, Jesus. And his mate who needs to come to you. So yeah, I'm doing that. And if I know of something, I'll pray for whatever. Then I jumped in the car. Oh, it was a bad time. It was like 10 to 9. I should have thought about that better. I should have just hung around Dapto a bit longer. But anyway, I drove up the highway, not the freeway, up the highway, because I wanted to drive through everywhere. I stop off in Unanderra a lot, so I just went through there quickly. I did prayer walk there on the next day, because anyway, long story. But I stopped, then I went into town and I parked up there in town and I did another prayer walk all around. Went into the library, did some reading, some work and stuff like that. Went out and did that walk around there. Then I drove up, I skipped over Ferry Meadow because I do that heaps. And so I went over there, went to Corrimal. Woo! And so I started doing a prayer walk around Corrimal and that area there and just saying, God, do something in this place. Do you know that in the revival of the early 1900s that was coming right up the south coast, that it actually skipped over Corrimal? There were thousands saved in every community up the coast except Corrimal. There is something, a long story, but there's a lot of stuff going on there, which is why we first planted the church there as the Holy Spirit showed us and so on. I can tell you all about it if you like. So we prayer walked that area. And then I went further from there. I can't remember now where I stopped next. I don't know if I stopped in Bulloy and Winoona. Can't remember. And I kept going up the highway praying as I'm driving. Yeah, come on. Pray in the Spirit. Don't close your eyes. And I'm driving up and I went to Thirroul and I stopped at Thirroul and I started prayer walking around. I even walked over the bridge at Thirroul and in both halves of the place and prayer walking around there, all the stuff going on. Went into the library, did some work, came out, started walking around. Spent the day prayer walking and driving all the way through Wollongong. I believe in this stuff. I actually believe in this stuff. I can't really go into the steelworks. I mean, I could probably do a tour or something. But if it was easy, I'd do it. Been down to Port Kembla, done those areas there, all that. But I know my sphere is actually Ferry Meadow. So I spend most of my time here with that business group there in Ferry Meadow and pray for them. I would encourage you, just be present. Wherever it is, just be present. Is it some community thing? Is it your street? I don't care. Walk the dog and pray. Whatever. Just sit in your car and pray. Go to a coffee shop. Get your Bible out. Read the Bible and pray for that community. I think we need to be present. I think we can be present spiritually. We pray, obviously, for Thailand and those places. One of the things we did in China this last trip, and I wanted to do more of it, was actually prayer walking. And the area where I stayed was actually near the university. And so I was able to actually walk around that area and prayer walk that place, praying for the effectiveness of our team based there in southern China. I just totally believe that we need to be present. We're here for the kingdom of God. Let's bring the presence of God with us. If you can prayer walk it, great. If you can sit there, great. If you can drive your car in and pray, great. If you need to pray from home, great. But make sure that there's a presence of God in that place. One of the best things about when you're actually physically in that place, wherever it is that God's called you to, is he can then align up divine appointments. And he can do it. And I'm not one of those people who has an appointment every day or every week. What I've found as I've done that is that God has shown me about half a dozen people that he keeps bringing across my path. And some of those have been open and some of them have been totally closed. And I just keep praying, God, do your work in this place. Amen. Amen. Be present. The second one is be prayerful. In Ephesians 6, we see that whole thing about the armor of God. And then at the end of the passage in verse 18, over the page, Ephesians 6 and verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Some versions say all kinds of prayer. Some say every prayer. I looked that up, and basically the concept is just go for your life. In all kind, whatever prayer you can do, get stuck into it. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Praying at all times, with all kinds of prayer, get stuck right in. Intercessory prayer, praying in the Spirit, praying the Lord's Prayer, I really don't mind. Just get stuck right in and be prayerful. Be prayerful. It would be embarrassing today if we were to turn to our neighbor and tell them how much time did we spend in prayer this week for our community. It would be embarrassing. I know it would be. It would be embarrassing. How much time did we spend? We, the people who know that our community is going to hell in a handbasket, we, the people who want to do all kinds of things to expand missions overseas and see people reach for the gospel, and we, the people who want to give and give and give and do all that, are we prepared to take on the prince of the power of the air and win air supremacy that Jesus has already won anyway, and all we're doing is enforcing his power over the heavens? Because make no mistake, our community is lost. The enemy is ruling, and we need to enforce the rule of the King in prayer. I want to challenge you fair and square today, increase the prayer. Increase the prayer. Increase the prayer. A resounding amen. Increase the prayer. Increase the prayer. More. We need more. People want to come into church. Have you heard the thing? They come into church and they want more of God in them. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. I sometimes feel like saying, how about a bit less and get out there? Do you know what I'm saying? What I mean by that is a bit less selfishness and a bit more actual getting out there and doing the job. I tell you. The challenge is there before us. That's why the air supremacy thing got me. As that guy, that major, was he major general? Whatever general he was, major general, I think, said to those fighter pilots, you don't have to stay in, they call it a box format or whatever. Don't have to stay there. I want you to go out. I want you to find the enemy, and I want you to establish air supremacy. And they did. And it turned the world, the war. And they were able to actually invade, retake Europe and get the Nazis out. I thought about it this way. What would the world look like if they hadn't done that? What would the world look like if most of Europe was ruled by Nazi Germany? There's some series and TV shows and books written about that, what the world would look like. I tell you now, we see that in the physical. It's just an example of what's happening in the spirit. And right now in Australia, the battle is on. And the battle will be won when we take the air. When we take the air, that's when the battle will be won. When we claim the ground by winning the battle of the air. Pray, 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 pray. At our morning tea time, instead of sitting there and eating a muffin, it'll be better for you in so many ways to do a quick walk around your workplace or the area where you are and say, God, would you bring your kingdom in this place? At lunchtime, instead of playing 500 with the guys, which I encourage you to do because it's a good relationship, but not all the time, but every now and then, maybe once a week, say, I'm not playing cards today, guys. Some of you don't know, you look at me funny. The guys at BlueScope play 500 all the time, at least they used to. And instead of doing that, half an hour, I'm just going to go for a walk where I can around the works, and I'm going to lay claim to it for the kingdom of God. Do you know that there's, 4,000-something workers there now? Does anybody, 4,000-something, something like that workers there now. at least 10% are Christians. So there's probably like several hundred Christians right now in that industrial works. What if all of those hundreds of men and women were to get up at lunchtime and just go for a walk around there praying for the kingdom of God to come? You say, well, that won't make any difference. Well, you're an unbeliever, aren't you? The scripture tells us it's faith. The Bible tells us it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So the beginning is prayer. The whole thing's prayer, as far as I'm concerned. We're doing this inner church stuff that God's really doing a great work with. And my immediate thing has always been that we've got three groups working: prayer, evangelism, and community engagement. And my immediate thing always, you can guess which one I would go for every time, would be the evangelism one. It's always been my driver. It's always been my interest. But you know, for the first time, when we started talking about this and these three groups, I knew which one I wanted to go with. I wanted to be involved with the prayer one, because I've recognized that prayer is critical to the retaking of Australia for the kingdom of God. As it turns out, I've ended up connecting with the evangelism one because they needed someone to work with them. But I wanted to go with the prayer one. And it was really great for us to be able to host the first prayer meeting here during the week. Something like 20 or 30 people came from a bunch of churches and came here and prayed that God would move in this process. How exciting is it? Every one of us take the ground. The last one is to persist, be present, be prayerful, and be persistent. We got it there in the Ephesians passage where he said, persevere. He said, pray with perseverance. And many times Jesus spoke about the widow who persisted with the unjust judge. And he says, if you'll just keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking, then your heavenly Father will give what you need. He'll do the work. He talked about the persistent widow. He talks about the Lord's Prayer and the persistent friend who came at midnight and pestered his friend until he said, he won't give it to you because he's your friend, but because you're pestering him, he'll give it to you. And he said, God's much better than that. If you'll ask, if you'll keep seeking, if you'll keep knocking, he'll open the door. He opens the door that nobody can shut. He shuts the door that nobody can open. We need the work of the Spirit. Why don't we stand together as we pray today? We need the work of the Spirit. We need every person of faith to be taking the land. Every one of us. We must be engaged with the spiritual battle. The battle is over. It's finished. The Bible says that God displayed them in shame in Christ, that the enemy is defeated, that if we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. When I submit to God and I go out into my community and resist the work of darkness, the Bible tells me that he will flee. That when I come and you come and when we bring the power of God into the community, the devil has to run away. That's the truth of the Word of God. Some people are, oh, he's the prince of the power of the air. He's got control and authority. And they talk about all this spiritual authority and people give him the right to this and the right to that. Well, of course that's going on, but don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that you're a son or a daughter of the King and you've been given authority over the evil one. So it doesn't matter what authority people out there are giving him. When you walk into that place, you bring the power of God and the devil has to what? That's right, even though you're quiet about it. The devil has to run away. He has to run away. So let's bring the kingdom, amen? Bring the kingdom wherever you go. Pray, 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 pray. Constantly for the kingdom of God to come. We've got to win the battle in the air. We've got to win the battle in the air.